Okay, so you can tell me. You can be anonymous. When did you have a disastrous job interview experience? It might have been just because you were so nervous, or a question could have stumped you for no reason at all. 1-300-222-612 is the number to call, or if that just feels like being too close to it, just send me a quick text and let me know what happened. It is a skill, being able to do job interviews, a huge skill. Perhaps you've got a huge success you'd like to tell me about instead. If you want to flip it to the positive, that is okay as well. Our regular career development practitioner that we've been hearing from lately, Carolyn Alchin, is back with some handy hints and advice on nailing that job interview. Carolyn, thank you so much for speaking to us once again today. I appreciate it.
No worries, Kate. All good.
So, I don't know. I remember the last job interview I did, it wasn't a particular question that I answered badly. I was so nervous that, and it was a phone one, thank goodness. I was so nervous that I was like trying to dial in and I couldn't dial in and I was freaking out. And then I suddenly realized that I was an hour early. Like, I was so nervous. I had misread the clock. This is the amount of, stress that the idea of a job interview can create, right? What are some of the typical things that can go so terribly wrong?
Well, I think a lot of the time people just see when their body reacts with that stress. So when their neck goes red and their heart goes a mile a minute and they get butterflies in the bottom of their stomach, that feeling when your body is feeling at risk often causes people to feel sick and then they forget everything that they thought they knew. So, you know, top tips in that situation is if we imagine ourselves as an Olympic sports person, right? You've trained for years to do this. You've gotten up onto the blocks. And when you're on the blocks, again, your heart's going a mile a minute, you've got butterflies in your tummy, your neck goes bright red, all of that stress. But instead of that reaction, that physiological reaction causing you to freak out, you go, okay, my body is ready for this. I'm going to smash this out because every single sense in my whole body is going, you know, batty. So it's about reframing that stress rather than and taking stress to excitement rather than trying to take stress to calm, because stress to calm is a really long journey. Stress to excited or stress to enthusiastic, much easier journey physiologically.
Steve from Bulimba, g'day.
G'day.
What was your job interview disaster?
Given in mind it was about 30 years ago, I was having an initial phone job interview in Dallas, Texas, from Brisbane here. And I was trying to be bright and positive, and we were talking very well. And at the end of it, I said, look, I look forward to talking to you again, mate. And, of course, this is the days before Crocodile Dundee, and the term mate just over there only means one thing, and that's basically your life partner, your most intimate partner. So he thought I was gay, which was totally...
So basically it was equivalent of saying, I'll speak to you again soon, darling.
Pretty much. But I had no idea until afterwards he wouldn't return my calls. Everything went off, of course, and then I realised somebody explained to me exactly what was going on. That mate only means one thing over there. And
just a little bit of a culture gap, unfortunately. Steve, thank you so much. I'm sure that can happen, cross-cultural job issues. Karen in the Sunshine Coast, g'day.
G'day.
What was your job interview disaster?
I guess it was a disaster, but it was a very steep learning curve. I was asked, what do I think of the painting behind me? And that was from one of the people on a panel of four, and it would have been the person who I would have most closely worked with had I got the role.
As in it was the painting behind where that person was sitting?
Behind the panel. So I was sitting there, the panel was in front of me, and he goes, oh, I've just got a couple more questions. And he goes, this painting that's behind us here, what do you think of it?
How did you respond?
Well, it was interesting. I don't want to disclose the organisation, but it is a sporting organisation and it basically depicted what their mission is.
Right.
And I sort of articulated that, but not really well. And it wasn't until I was walking out of the... building and along the street, and I saw their mission again, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh, I know exactly what it was. And I followed it up with an email, but it told me a lot about that person, actually, in the end, how quirky they could be. And I've since discovered that. And I'm really glad I didn't get the role.
Right. To be clear, you know, your job that you were applying for had nothing to do with art critique. It was just about whether you understood this particular depiction of the ethos, the mission statement of the organisation.
Yes, so be prepared for anything, basically.
Wow. Thank you so much, Karen. Karen from the Sunshine Coast there. Okay, so you've got the callback, Carolyn Alchin, for a job interview. Like, where do you even start with your preparation on that?
My biggest place to start is research the organisation to which you're going to be interviewing with. And assuming that you probably have already done this to a certain point in your application, but if you have the opportunity, look up the people that are going to be on your panel or on your interview on LinkedIn, Google them, do that kind of stuff. Find out what they like or dislike. If that previous caller had known that, you know, that person was into art or whatever, they might have even researched it and seen that that thing existed. So when you're thinking about prepping for an interview, top tip, know who you're going to be interviewing with. Second tip, Google the top 10 interview questions, because, oh my goodness, there's certain questions that always get asked, and write yourself some notes and some dot points on how you would answer them and how that would add value to the organisation to which you applied.
Okay, so just take an example. What is a common interview question, and what should we be thinking about when we craft an answer?
So why do you think you're appropriate for the job would be a really great question that's often asked. And that can sometimes be framed as, why do you want the job, or why should we hire you? All of that, you know, it's the same question in different ways. The other thing that can be asked that's also a similar question to that is, tell me about yourself. Now, often this freaks souls out because people go, oh, okay, I'm married, I've got two kids, my birthday's on this day. We need to remember with any interview question, it's about telling them what they want to find out, not telling them the answer to the question. Yeah? Does that make sense? So, for example, tell me about yourself means, how will you add value to my company? It doesn't mean just tell me about yourself. Yeah? It's a twofold question.
I know that doesn't sound right. Tell me about yourself. Well, I've got heaps of potential for your company is... It sounds like I'm not really listening to you. I'm assuming that I know what you want and I'm feeding into that.
It's literally a scenario where if you were to say, tell me about yourself, and if they asked you that question, it would be a case of thinking about what the company requires, thinking about the way that you best match that, and then talking about that. So in any situation, see every answer to an interview question as one being you plus one being the organisation equals two, how do you add value to the organisation?
So
and
tell
by
me
doing
about yourself.
That, it works well.
Tell me about yourself. I've been involved in this industry for this long. I've been doing this now, and this is how what I see as my aim for the future, and this is how we could make a beautiful future together, mate.
Absolutely. Your mission statement states blah, blah. My values align with that because of this. My experience can be utilised in this role by doing blah, that kind of thing, yeah?
Okay, so we'll have a list of top 10 questions. Any other ones that they always slip in that people tend to answer incorrectly or in a way that doesn't benefit them?
When people are stressed, they get quite literal. So when they get asked, tell me about something that has challenged you and what you did about it, they often do exactly that, and not necessarily in a work-related way or in a way that paints them in a positive light. Because the thing about an interview is that, again, it's very much like that first date. You know, you may be the most magical person in the world, but everyone's got a dark side, right? And positive things in an interview are, you know, grains of rice. Negative things in an interview are a bowling ball. They can often take over all of the great stuff about you. So if somebody says, tell me what your faults are, or tell me what your weaknesses are, or tell me about a time that you were challenged and what you did, what they're actually wanting to hear usually is, are you a learner? Are you able to accept feedback appropriately? Do you see failure as dismal, or do you see it as an opportunity for learning? And are you a problem solver? So, for example, you know, tell me about a time when you were challenged and what you did about it. I would recommend to people that what they do is they think of something that they used to suck at. They think of the strategies that they put in place to suck at it less, and then they talk about how that's worked for them in a positive way.
I love that. And whether or not you use that exact phrase when you're in the interview probably depends on the industry in which you're interviewing.
Just a touch.
Just a tiny little bit. Okay, so does it help to actually practice answering these questions out loud, or do you write dot points, or how should you tackle the actual mechanics of doing it?
Well, this is a really interesting one, and I think technology can be a real friend in this situation. If you use a platform like Zoom, for example, you can actually practice answering questions whilst looking at yourself. And the fun part is our faces do really amazing things when we answer questions that we don't like, or when we have to talk about ourselves in a positive way, because honestly, oh my goodness, I don't want to sound up myself. So when I'm talking about myself in a positive way, I might screw my face up, or one of my girlfriends says that I twitch when I get a compliment because I you know, it's hard, right? So by doing it on Zoom, or by using your phone and videoing yourself as you answer the question and watching it back, you see what your face does in those situations, and you can practice. And the cool part is if you practice a few times, instead of having to look at your notes each time or anything else like that, it becomes a natural, if you will, elevator pitch. So if you were standing at the elevator next to somebody that could get you a job, and you were in that elevator, you could talk about yourself in a positive, relaxed, and effective way.
On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, Kate O'Toole is my name, and I'm speaking with Carolyn Alchin, who is a career development practitioner, and she's helping you suck at job interviews less because they are difficult. Derek from Ferny Grove says, at 58, I was being interviewed by someone reading questions from a list with no ability to tailor them for the interviewee. And apparently the answer to where do you see your job career going in the next 10 to 15 years, apparently the answer wasn't sitting on a beach with a cold beer.
It's almost again, we return to that wonderful reality around you need to think of what the interviewer is looking for, not necessarily the literal question they're asking.
How much has this practice changed over the years, or is the job interview today the same job interview of 20 years ago?
Honestly, it depends on the industry. You know, if you're going for a job at a small to medium enterprise, it's often just as it always has been. You sit down with someone, you see if it works between you. It's a few questions, it's a wander around the workplace, and you sort it, right? But these days, like they say, employers probably check, I think it's 92% of people's social media, so they will Google you. So if you have dodgy stuff on your social media, clean it up. That's changed. So your digital profile or footprint is integral. And if you're going for a big job, like you're going for a job at a larger company, it has changed quite dramatically. So these days they may do psychometric testing where they test your general skills. They may do group interviews where you have to demonstrate how you work in a team. They might do like a phases of interviews. So you might do a video interview, you might do a phone interview, you might do a group interview, and then finally you get to a panel interview. So yeah, it has changed quite a bit, and it is a real skill to develop and practice.
And do you think that these changes over the years have resulted in businesses getting a better fit for the job? Because it is a very imprecise science, isn't it?
Oh, tremendously so. And it's so subjective as well. It often depends on the panel of people that are interviewing. It depends on the mood on the day, you know, all that kind of stuff. Honestly, I'm not sure it's actually improved the quality of the person that gets the job. It would very much depend on the interview questions. Sometimes interview questions are insightful. Other times they almost can cause a difficulty in letting people choose the right person for a job. So, for example, if you ask the same questions to each applicant, great stuff. You've got a balanced measure. But a lot of small to medium enterprises will actually ask different questions to each interviewee, and at the end they're not sure who the best applicant is because they don't have a common ground to go from.
Are there interview questions that you just hate, that you don't think are illustrative at all? I mean, speaking to people who might do the interviews, ones that they should scratch off the list?
Oh, yeah, there are some. You know, 10 years ago or so, I was in a interview panel and one of the interviewers thought it'd be fun to ask, so are you a boxers or briefs person? And that kind of a question really irritates me. You know, any question that's sexist or any question that's going to cause a person to need to identify themselves, whether it be their sexuality, their race, their marital status, their age, any of those questions, I passionately hate those questions, because the reality is, and this is another tip for everybody, is in an interview, you want to be judged on what you say, the experience you have, and the person that you are. You don't want to be judged on what colour your shirt is, whether or not you've cleaned your fingernails, or who you choose to shtup. Like, the reality is you want to be judged on what you can do, the experience that you have. Top tip, dress beige, if that makes sense. You want to dress to be adaptable to the environment that you're going to. Don't be trying to express thyself in a physical way. You want to dress so that they hear what you say and they look at your experience, not just how you look.
Unless you're going for a creative industry position.
Yeah, but even then, like, you dress beige, and when I say beige, I mean however everybody else is dressing and probably one step up. So if you're going for a high-vis job, like a blue-collar job, and you know, if you walked in wearing a penguin suit, you wouldn't go so well, right? But if you wore a nice button-down shirt, a pair of chinos, or you wore a pair of black slacks and a nice shirt, you'd be all sweet, yeah? So it depends. You've got to be appropriate for your industry, and you need to be appropriate for the role that you're going for, whether it be management, whether it be general service, that kind of stuff.
At the end of the job interview, they always say, almost always, and do you have any questions for us? If it's a job panel, what's the right way to respond to that?
Well, there's a couple. The first thing is to have pre-prepared a couple of questions that you'd like to know the answer to. The second I would suggest, and nearly everyone I work with says to me, am I allowed to ask what the pay rate is? And I'm like, no, that's not the question that you ask at the end, because the biggest thing is you want to leave them with a positive taste in their mouth, right? So if you get offered the job, that's when you ask that question, because realistically, that's where the power dynamic starts to change. They want you at that point. So that's the point when you can start to work on pay rates and stuff like that. Up until that point, don't touch pay. So from my point of view, when you're going for questions at the end, I always flip that question back and say, I would really like to know if there's anything else I could add to my application that would add value. So that way they can ask me any of those funny little questions that maybe I missed, and they might know that I already know. So they want to give me the opportunity to share that information. Equally, it's also a time when you often get those friendly questions, those questions around, so what do you do on the weekend, all of that kind of stuff, if you offer them the opportunity to ask that. The other thing I would always ask is, can you tell me about opportunities within the company to grow as a professional? Because again, that's promoting yourself as being a learner, being enthusiastic, having initiative, being motivated, that kind of stuff.
Okay, there's a lot of information to take on, and I think it does prepare us a little bit better for the next job interview that we find ourselves confronting. And just remember, if we sort of circle back to the very beginning, it was embrace the nerves but call them excitement.
And interestingly enough, we have research and evidence that actually proves the fact that if you reframe, even out loud, you don't have to think, you don't have to feel it, but if you reframe it out loud, I'm excited about my interview. The great part is your body starts to see it that way, which is really, really interesting. And the test results improve if you go for excitement versus nervousness. It's really interesting.
You can actually trick your body into responding differently.
You can, indeed. And it's amazing. You know, it's like when they tell you exercise is good for you and you do it and you go, oh, wow, it might be.
Thank you so much for speaking to us once again. I really appreciate it.
No worries, Kate. Make sure if anyone wants more tips on interviews, et cetera, et cetera, the next rollout of Adapt 2020, the free course that we're running, starts on June 1st. All you need to do is Google Career Adapt 2020 and it'll pop straight up.